Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The U.S. has passed 4 million confirmed cases of COVID-19. That's up 1 million from just 2 weeks ago, which means the total number of cases in the country has doubled since early June. More than 144,000 people have died.
And the surge has led President Trump to do a 180 on the part of the Republican National Convention that he moved out of North Carolina and into Jacksonville, Florida. He now says that's canceled.
The timing for this event is not right. It's just not right with what's happened recently, the flare up in Florida. To have a big convention, it's not the right time. It's really something that, for me, I have to protect the American people. That's what I've always done. That's what I always will do. That's what I'm about.
Let's get to that and more in politics with Rick Klein, political director at ABC News, and Toluz Olurunipa, White House reporter at The Washington Post. Welcome to both of you. And Rick, in addition to the convention, the president also conceded that schools in some hotspot areas shouldn't necessarily reopen after he had been saying that they should. Is he being pressured just by the numbers of coronavirus cases or by his poll numbers into taking this more seriously than he has?
These are striking reversals, and it's as if reality has crashed in on President Trump's world. I mean, he's the one that wanted the big party in Jacksonville, despite what experts had told him. He's the one that's been insisting on schools reopening entirely, despite what experts have told him. And I think it's the reality of the disease, and I do think it's the political reality as well. There's no question that he has taken a real hit in public and private polling as a result of being basically where the country is in terms of this disease. And I think people have been prevailing on him to change course, and I think we're starting to see that now in terms of his rhetoric as well as his actions.
Well, and that tape that we just played was from one of these coronavirus daily press briefings that he has restarted this week. Tolu, they didn't help him the last time around. We remember people were telling him to stop doing them because they were hurting him in the polls. Do you expect they'll be any different this time?
Well, they have tried to reconfigure the way the briefings take place. The president has been spending less time in front of the press. These briefings have been lasting on average less than 30 minutes, where before he would go almost 2 hours speaking extemporaneously. Now he's going after following a script and not taking as many questions and trying to be a little bit more somber in tone, if you will. But it's not clear that this will change much in terms of the president's political standing, in part because, as we've seen in a large number of polls that have been released in the last few days, the American people give him very low marks for his handling of this virus. And for that reason, he is trailing in the polls.
Tolu, I want to bring in something else that's happening this week. The pandemic unemployment benefits run out in a week. That's the extra $600 a week that Congress gave unemployed Americans in the CARES Act. Roughly 30 million workers are currently claiming unemployment benefits. That's one in five workers. And we're seeing unemployment filings tick back up again, as we've been reporting. Is that enough pressure to get movement from Congress and the White House? I mean, what's the holdup here?
Yeah, there's a lot of pushback, especially from Republicans, against this idea of giving people expanded unemployment benefits. The idea or the problem, the concern among Republicans is that some people, a large number of these people who are actually receiving this benefit, are making more by not working than they were making while they were working. That may be an issue to look at, you know, in terms of a living wage and the fact that wages are so low for so many Americans, even before the pandemic. But Republicans say that people need incentives to work. They don't need incentives not to work. And for that reason, this could be a big showdown, a big fight that can make it very hard to pass a phase four bill, because Democrats want to continue giving this $600 additional benefit, saying it's a lifeline that many people would have been evicted from their homes, would have gone homeless, and would have had trouble putting food on the table without this money. And Republicans are saying that this money is keeping people from going back to work. And I don't see that bridge being those differences being bridged in the next few days. It's a major fight, and the White House has also tried to push back against that as well.
Rick, I mean, what's happening with the GOP right now? I mean, Democrats passed this $3 trillion relief bill in the House back in May, but we have yet to see this bill from Republicans in the Senate. What's going on here?
Well, I think the Republicans are having trouble deciding what they want is the next phase of this. And the president changing course, he's also been all over the map in terms of what specifically he wants to be in the next bill. And I think it's, look, it's an embarrassment for Republicans to have to go into the weekend knowing that there's a short legislative window, that the political season is upon us, without really even having a bill. The Senate Republicans haven't been able to come up with something yet. There's some framework out there. But I think it all fits into where the party is right now, which is you have a lot of folks who are looking at the president's political prospects, beginning to position around him, maneuver around him, and begin to make calculations that that aren't necessarily connected to the president's daily musings on Twitter or elsewhere.
I'm so glad that your line stayed together there, Rick, because you said, I think know. It's, and then we lost you for a second. I'm like, oh, what did he think? But anyway, I'm going to go to Tolu next for the next question, which is on the issue of Republicans in Congress. Tolu, there does seem to be some infighting going on in the party. President Trump has gone after Wyoming's Congresswoman Liz Cheney, the third highest ranking Republican in the House. Other Republicans are also going after her. Now, we remember that she has defended Dr. Fauci. She said real men wear masks and posted a photo of her father, Dick Cheney. What is the significance of this infighting in the Republican Party, Tolu?
Yeah, it's a big question about what the Republican Party stands for in 2020 in the age of Donald Trump. And right now, loyalty to Trump is the coin of the realm within the Republican Party, showing that you're loyal to the president, showing that you will stand with him and stand by him no matter what, even if he goes against party orthodoxy. And that seems to be rubbing some Republicans the wrong way. People like Liz Cheney want to be able to show that they have their own independent voices. And there's also this big fight over what's going to happen if President Trump loses and what is the Republican Party going to look like in a post-Trump era. And that's part of the machinations that you're seeing. It's part of the jostling you're seeing in the party is that President Trump right now is down in the polls. And if he loses in just over 100 days, then there's going to be a mad scramble as to who's going to be a leader in the party that has been defined by loyalty to Trump over the last 3 years.
Rick, let's talk about what happened this week with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the New York Democratic congresswoman who spoke on the House floor yesterday to read a statement about her encounter with Republican Representative Ted Yoho of Florida.
There were reporters in the front of the Capitol, and in front of reporters, Representative Yoho called me, and I quote, bitch. These are the words that Representative Yoho levied against a congresswoman, the congresswoman that not only represents New York's 14th congressional district, but every congresswoman and every woman in this country.
Now, she also invited other Democratic women to talk about their experiences with harassment, including in Congress. Yoho has denied using that slur, even though there were witnesses, and he has since apologized for any, quote, misunderstanding. What has been the response to all of this, Rick?
This was a kind of moment that really cuts through. It's not just about a member of Congress and a colleague in some sharp words. This is about a younger woman and an older colleague and a slur that that is probably all too familiar to women in the workplace. And I think that's a piece of this. And I think the fact that this happened among members of Congress or even could happen among members of Congress is a reminder of where we are as a country. I think it's a reminder we're all on edge. I think the coronavirus crisis has got people into another state of mind, and there's probably people snapping at friends and colleagues as well as political enemies along the way. But what I thought was so striking about this is that you have this 30-year-old woman talking about this experience and having a bunch of her colleagues support her on it and talk about it. So it's not just about the tensions in Congress. To me, it says something broader about the country.
With the time we have with you, Rick, I want to ask you about former Trump lawyer and fixer Michael Cohen. He's back out of prison again today. He was moved to home confinement because of the pandemic originally, then moved back to prison. But a judge said the second move was actually retaliatory because Cohen wanted to write this tell-all book about the president. What do we know about this and what happens now?
It's so striking to have a judge say that it looks like there was political considerations, retribution by the Justice Department. Look, Bill Barr and his Justice Department haven't given people a lot of confidence in their in his ability to keep politics out of things. We've seen example after example in terms of legislation as well as individual actions, including the Roger Stone commutation by the president himself. But this kind of idea that there's political retribution directly against someone who's going to write something critical is a really startling thing. And I think the fact that Michael Cohen is out again is because a judge has found as much and said that, that this was about political retribution first and foremost.
Yeah, Tolu, I know that you have been also covering this. I mean, this speaks to something that could potentially be larger. I mean, with the federal judge saying that this is truly a retaliatory move.
Yeah, it's hard to sort of overstate how important this ruling is when it comes to the First Amendment and when it comes to freedom of speech and the idea that the president or his acolytes were potentially using the power of the federal government, the power to imprison someone and put them in solitary confinement in order to violate their First Amendment rights. That is a monumental charge. It is fundamental to who we are as Americans. And if this is true, then it's clear that we've gone further away from our constitutional norms and values than many people would have even expected, even under the Trump presidency. So we'll wait to hear more, but the judge's ruling is very disturbing.
That is Tolu Olorunipat, The Washington Post, and Rick Klein at ABC News. Thanks to both of you.